Michelle, the Canadian Institutes for Health Research has just announced some funding that is going towards research into suicide prevention. Could you tell me a little bit about the announcement?
Yes, this is a call to ask researchers to apply for grants for different reviews of literature of a project which has been successful in the prevention of suicide in different areas, like in the schools, in the small communities with Aboriginal people. So researcher will apply for grants, and from April until 6 months afterward, they will write a report on the topic that they have selected.
How much money is going into this, and how many grants are available?
There will be three grants of $100,000 each that will be distributed for this program.
And why do a literature review?
The literature review is to see what we call evidence-based, what has been assessed as successful in the intervention, either with Aboriginal communities or with similar groups like young people who have mental illness or we have addiction problems, you know, what has been working. So we think that applying these interventions to the Aboriginal community could contribute to prevent suicide.
Well, beyond the Aboriginal people, where else is suicide a concern? Where do we see these clusters of suicides?
Well, in Canada, there is certainly more men than women that commit suicide. It's about 4 men to 1 woman. But there is a higher number of suicide in Quebec, for instance. Though the rate is lowering right now, we used to have a very high. It's less among immigrant communities than in the general population because they come from countries where usually the suicide rate is lower. So there is also subpopulation, especially middle-aged men who have a poor, it's certainly related to poverty or people who have low-scale employment or who get on long-time unemployment. And especially if they have addiction, substance abuse problems, we see a lot of these men around 40 or 50 years old who will commit suicide. So there's a variety of subgroups that are really targeted for suicide. There is also young people. It's not so much suicide than serious suicide attempts. Adolescents with sexual identity problems that are related to the stigmatization. Also, young people with a psychosis, it's very hard adaptation to society. So in this population, we see much more suicide attempts and sometimes death by suicide.
So is an underlying factor that would drive people to try and take their lives the fact that they feel they have no hope?
Exactly. Well, one of the, I think it's the main factor, you know, why people commit suicide, because they are in a state of despair, and they don't think they can do anything else. It's not just despair of, you know, one day we feel down. Is that people are being repeatedly convinced that they cannot change their situation, and that's when they will commit suicide. You know, like an example is someone who is with substance abuse. He got a lot of debts, and sometimes those are money that he owed to his friends, to the family, or to the mafia. And you know, he's cornered, and his wife will leave him. She probably tried many years to get along, but at the end she cannot. And the guy, he said, well, I won't be able to start my life again with another person, you know, so might as well finish here. So there is this kind of desperate situation. People wait usually years before they decide that they cannot do anything else to their situation.
What things have you found so far within your own work that might actually help prevent suicide amongst people who are at risk?
In general or in Aboriginal communities?
Well, you've worked with Aboriginal communities, so yeah. What would you say is happening there?
Well, in certain communities, the problem is very acute. You know, we have, in certain villages, there is one or two suicide a year. That's a lot for a population of 1,000. And we have also to include sometimes 100 suicide attempts for 1,000 population. That's tremendously high. So I think just one program is not enough. The whole community should confront, face the situation. You know, there should be a committee at the level of the village that say we are facing this problem, and then we'll see in which manner we will bring some programs. But it also to be an effort of the whole communities of changing behavior, changing attitudes, and getting help from the outside, because they cannot do everything by themselves. So there should be a turnover and, you know, a change of attitude and say we can do something and let's find out what can be done to face the problems of suicide. So it should be a collective effort when we come to the Aboriginal community.
Will those same principles apply to communities at large or the population in general?
Yes. Well, there's also some smaller communities where suicide is very high, but they are not that numerous. But it's mostly groups of people, you know, certain schools that could be the target where we'll find a lot of suicide attempts, or it could be, you know, the young people in certain cities, so in certain neighborhoods. So we can target these population and, you know, do a more community-oriented approach. It could be also people who are going to certain bars in small towns where we find there's a lot of people who do suicide attempts, and once in a while there is a death by suicide. So it should be targeted to these settings.
Now, these grants for this particular program are targeted at doing a literature review on a global basis. Do you know from your experience, are there certain areas where suicide prevention has actually worked, where they have had successes?
Well, one of the programs that where there is a lot of effort is in, I don't know, it's called Sentinel. I don't know if it's the same in English. You know, it's these people who are doing the detection of people at risk. So we train people to open their eyes and see who is in need of help in a certain milieu, and to try to help that person to seek help, either professional or with people in the community, so that they don't try to go through their crisis alone. We call it the detection by the community people. It could be one way, at least, of intervening with people in crisis, because the professionals are not in the community to see them. It's been tried in the schools. It's been tried in the military, you know, and it has been successful in preventing suicide. So we think that intervention like that, you know, it could help prevent suicide in the future.
And where is this program taking place?
Oh, there is all over. Yeah, it's in North America. There are many programs based on these principles. And it's also starting, there are a few in Aboriginal communities. So it's been widespread up to now. It's one of the main action that's been taken in national strategy of suicide prevention at the level of the many countries. So that's one of the targets that is a priority, is to become aware of people who are in crisis.
There's a very tight timeline on this announcement, on the letting out of the grants, getting the submissions. Why is this an issue now? Why has it come up now? What's the motivation or driver behind it?
I cannot speak for the Institute, but, you know, we have to find some way to act promptly and So there's been, up to now, a certain number of projects that's been successful. So it's tried to, you know, get them together and see what are the lessons that could be taken and applied to Aboriginal communities. So it's one step among many steps that are taken. So it's not a big amount of money. It's $300,000 compared to the budget of the Elf Institute. But we think that, you know, this investment could be profitable to the to suicide prevention in the communities, at least in making the knowledge available. And so people can discuss, they can say, well, yes, it worked there, but we have to adapt it a certain way for the Aboriginal community. So, you know, the process will be going on.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl, and good luck with your work.